Good morning. I'd like to call to order the Civic San Diego Budget Finance Committee meeting. Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Chair Kilkenny, Vice Chair Jenkins, Director Russell are present, Director Geisler is expected, and Director Rath is expected.
Thank you. On to item two, any non-agenda public comment?
There are none.
Thank you. Item three, any disclosures or ex parte communications? None. Item four, any potential agenda items? None? Okay, great. On to the consent agenda, item number five. I take a motion for approval of the minutes.
Move approval.
I'll second.
All right, a motion from Director Jenkins, second from Director Russell. All in favor?
The motion passes unanimously.
Great, thank you. On to our regular agenda, item number six, which is the fiscal year, the proposed fiscal year budgets for Parkhead on Market, 6th and K, and Cedar Gateway parking garages. Mr. Verdugo. And Ms. Ferris, sorry.
Good morning, Chairman McKitty and committee. I'm Diane Ferris, accountant financial analyst for Civic San Diego, and Ben Verdugo here, senior project manager, parking and mobility. I'm presenting the fiscal year 2020 proposed budgets for the three downtown parking garages, Parkhead on Market, 6th and K Parkade, and Cedar Gateway. Staff is requesting that the committee recommend the Civic Board approve the proposed FY20 budgets for each of the downtown parking garages. To summarize each of the garages, we've got Parkhead on Market opening and operating since January of 2001. It was funded by bonds and contains 500 parking spaces along with 2,300 square feet of retail. 6th and K Parkade opened in August of 2004, also funded by bonds and contains 1,000 public parking spaces. Cedar Gateway Garage is part of the Cedar Gateway Affordable Housing Project, located on Cedar Street between 5th and 6th Avenues, and contains 26 public parking spaces. On Parkhead on Market for FY20, the total revenue is projected to be $2,559,000. Operating expenses are estimated at $1,098,000. Non-operating expenses, $63,000. Annual debt service will be $905,000. Capital expenditures of $230,000, resulting in a $233,537. Capital expenditures for the FY20 include $230,074 and include the stairwell improvements, which actually is the repairs of walls, stairs, and landings, painting the walls and railing, removing old epoxy and painting new epoxy for all three of the stairwells. The exterior lower base and interior entryway walls will be painted, installing the real-time signage and removing of the parking booths. For FY20, 6th and K's revenue is projected to be $3,683,000. Operating expenses at $1,295,000. Non-operating expenses are $64,000. Annual debt service will be $1,254,000. Capital expenditures of $582,000, resulting in $488,980. Capital expenditures here at 6th and K Parkade total $581,586 and include the elevator modernization of the six elevators. Has been a three-year project. This year in FY20 will be the final two elevators. First two were done in FY18, two more in FY19, and this will complete the project. Stairwell improvements consisting of repairs to walls, stairs, landings, paint walls, and railing, removing epoxy and painting new epoxy on all three of the stairwells. There will also be some interior wall painting and the removal of the parking booths. For FY20, Cedar Gateway anticipates total revenue to be $50,000, operating expenses estimated at $37,000, resulting in $13,142. The attachments to the staff report contain complete line-by-line details of every revenue and expense item by month for each of the garages. And I want to thank Mike Vargason and Joe Logucci from Ace Parking for joining us and assisting with the preparation of this budget. This concludes our report, and both Ben, myself, and Ace Parking are available for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Ferris. Clerk, do we have any speaker slips on this?
There are none.
Great. Any comments from the committee? Director Russell.
Yeah, thank you. Quick question. So I'm seeing it seems like we're moving toward non-personnel operated parking structures. Is that the case?
Correct. There will still be personnel there. They just won't be collecting revenue. They're more parking ambassadors, similar like you have here at the garage.
Okay, so that deals with some of the security and ADA issues, right? Accessibility assistance, things like that.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the operating revenue of Cedar Gateway, what is the high? That seems high for the that's a different animal altogether, but can you explain what kind of animal it is, how we operate it?
So for the most part, the revenue is for monthly parkers. It's been a challenge there getting transient parking there. We've had some issues of late, too, of transient people actually coming into the garage. So we've actually had to limit the accessibility for people coming in for transient parking during the week. We still keep it open on the weekends. For transit parkers, there's really no magnet to the north side. It's only 26 stalls, so really the bread and butter at that garage right now is monthly parkers.
Okay, thank you.
Perhaps we'll go out of order, just out of respect. I see Mr. Smith has his hand up. Mr. Smith. Yes.
Gary Smith, president of the Downtown Residents Group. St. Cecilia's Chapel, which is immediately adjacent to that garage, has just finished refurbishment, and they're currently looking to lease it out to a tenant, and that should increase the patronage of that garage and may also lead to complete leasing of those spaces.
Thank you, Mr.
If I can add, Gary brings a good point. And the original parking, these 28 stalls were originally built with the intent of providing parking for the St. Cecilia rehab. That was the original intent. But again, there was two separate parcels. One was a housing and one was a non-housing. So, but that was the original intent of these spaces.
Great. Thank you. Director.
So I noticed that there is no debt service. Those were built and deeded.
These were built as part of the affordable housing project, and it was paid for through the developer built them, but gave them to the redevelopment agents. They were supposed to be paid for by parking meter revenue, but ultimately the deal worked out so that the no parking meter revenue was required to go in there and pay for those parking spots. It was part of the agency loan, the larger agency loan, with the idea that some sort of arrangement could be made ultimately with St. Cecilia's church, whoever occupied that in the future, and then dissolution happened.
Thank you. Director Jenkins.
Thank you. As I understand, you're proposing an adjustment to the parking fees, is that correct?
Only at North Park, not for the downtown garages.
Sorry for confusing that. I'll come back to that, so I don't have any questions then.
Okay. With that, I would entertain a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion from Director Jenkins, a second from Director Russell. Let's vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Great, thank you. On to item number 7. This is the proposed fiscal year 2020 budget for the North Park parking garage. So back to you, Ms. Ferris, Mr. Verdugo.
Good morning. Diane Ferris, accountant, financial analyst for Civic San Diego, and Ben Verdugo, senior project manager, parking and mobility. Today we've got the fiscal year 2020 proposed budget for the North Park Garage. Staff is requesting that the committee recommend to the Civic San Diego board approval of the proposed FY20 budgets for the garage. This North Park garage opened in April of 2006. It is a public-private venture, and our portion of it is 383 parking spaces. For fiscal year 20, revenue at the garage is projected to be $535,000. Operating expenses estimated at $341,000, resulting in $194,000 of net operating income. With some capital expenditures of $75,000, we result in $119,063 of operating cash. The capital expenditures at this garage for FY20 total $75,419 and include stairwell painting, LED lighting, replacement of the park sign faceplates, and restriping the garage. The proposed FY20 budget does reflect an increase in revenue for special event parking, an increase of $5, bringing the event parking to $10 per event, and permit parking increase of $10 per month for each of the various monthly permit categories. This increase would be effective, if approved, would be effective August 1, given they need a 30-day notice to be given July 1, and results in $65,000 for the special events and $40,000 of permits. That's not the total, but the increase related because of the increase. The attachments to the staff report contain line-by-line detail of each line, as well as revenues in by month. And this concludes my report. All questions, we're here for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Ferris. Clerk, any speakers on this?
No, there are none.
Great. Any comments from the committee? Director Jenkins, Russell. Sorry.
We're two white men with glasses, I know. So thank you. First of all, thank you to both of you for your presentations today and for your hard work in this program. Quick question on the increases. Did you do market study for the increases on the rates at the park, at the North Park structure? And how do the monthlies compare to other things available?
So there's not really a comparable parking structure on a monthly basis at North Park. So if we propose this downtown, yes, that we would ask that ACE do a market rate study. And right now, they'll tell you also that we're under market at the downtown garages. But we do that under market just because we view that as a public asset for the people. But there's really no comparable structure in North Park. Right now, what we'll say about that, though, people are paying really cheap to park at that garage on a monthly basis. You know, you could work for a company, have multiple employees for a company, and each employee is paying only $20 a month to park at that structure. So I think that's entirely reasonable. The whole time I've been here for at least 3 years, we've never proposed any sort of rate increase at North Park. I think that could use a little shot in the arm in terms of getting some more revenue. That way we can continue to do upgrades to the garage. I think that also the fact that we're going to have the 30th Avenue bikeway come through, and we might have some more opportunities for people to come at that garage to park there on a regular basis if they're there on a monthly basis.
And the increase in the event parking, because $5 is really cheap.
Yeah, it is.
And so 10. And special events, does that include events at the observatory?
That's what it would be, yeah. And I think there's another shot in the arm, too. I think that Live Nation Now, I just went on the website, and they posted that they do own that venue now. So I think having them not only own the venue, but also obviously market and then also bring in bands for that venue, I think that we can get some really good special event revenue coming in. And so we're only going from $5 to $10. That's reasonable. I mean, you look at any special event parking. There was a lot at the special events in North Park, and they were charged anywhere from $15 to $20 for people to park. And so I think it's reasonable to go from $5 to $10.
Okay, thank you.
Can I add just one thing to that as it relates specifically to North Park? I mean, in general, we do try to keep the rates reasonable for the public because these are built and paid for with public assets. But one of the unfortunate things that happened with North Park Garage was with the dissolution of redevelopment. There was about a $250,000 reserve that had built up, and that was there to pay for offsetting. But with dissolution, we had to give that back to the taxing entities. So there's no reserve sitting in this. There's no bonds, and there's no parking meter revenue like the two downtown garages charges in the event of something, some sort of major improvement that is a backstop to that. So part of this is help build up those reserves. We went a couple years in the red. We finally now positive. And so to the extent we can increase these reserves, looking at our expenses and still keeping it at a reasonable rate.
Okay. And then we did have really big capital expenditures in the present budget year, correct? I mean, I saw we were in the red. We had been building up, and then we went into the red.
Yeah, that's also to go automated. So the idea is you put a bunch of money up front. That way, we don't have to have operational expenses, you know, related to payroll for people cashiering and taking money. So, yeah, there was an upfront expense, but we're automated at that garage right now.
Okay. And have we funded the replacement of the artwork?
There's funds in place right now. We're actually working on that right now. So we're looking to finalize that actually by this month.
Okay, and so will the replacement of the park faceplates be done in conjunction with that, or are these totally separate projects?
That's totally separate.
Okay, thank you.
Director Geisler.
Thank you. He asked most of my questions. So one question about the parking at the bottom that's reserved just for the bank. The signs that they have are pretty unclear over the weekends when the bank is closed. So you'll go in there over the weekend, and everybody ignores those spots, even though the bank's not open, because it says bank parking only. It doesn't say unless banking is closed or over the weekends, it's for anybody. So just something you might want to think about talking to the bank about, or whoever does those plates, because it's pretty unclear.
Okay, we have Mike with Ace Parking here, so we can work with him and then work with the bank as well about making that a little more clear.
Yeah, because you'll go in there on the Saturday and are closed, and all those spots are just empty.
Available,
because
right?
So.
Mike Vargason with Ace Parking. And I believe actually over the weekend they changed the signs, the reserve that are on the first row right there.
Uh-huh.
I haven't physically seen what they say yet, but I know that we do utilize the spaces for the bank when the bank is closed.
Okay.
But it will be, because right now I think it's pretty much not really, you can't really read it clearly.
Right.
I'll work with the bank and find out what we do to open after this time frame where you can park here after business hours for the bank or whatever.
That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I think that I had the same questions about a fee study and so on, and I do think that there's a lot of spaces out there that these lots run by other companies, and they're charging $10 to $20 at night, $8 to $20 varying. So I think this, you know, these increases are pretty reasonable. So. I'm in support, and I'll make a motion if nobody has yet.
Okay, we've got a motion. Director Jenkins, you're on the lights.
One of the questions, you've addressed a number of questions that I had. I appreciate that. With regard to the relationship, the operating relationship, this is the ownership is between the city and the developer. And the developer, I presume, sold that interest to the current owner. And so as a part of the sale to Live Nation, is there a provision in that partnership arrangement, however that's structured, that requires our consent to the assignment of that interest? Or do you know?
I would have to go back and double check, but I don't recall that is an asset of the former successor agency any longer. Whether there's been some other transaction that they've removed that, I can go back and double check and look at our asset listings, but that one doesn't ring a bell.
It just strikes me that there's a lack of communication regarding this issue with the new purchaser of the observatory. And maybe they don't even know about that contingency or that asset that they have as a part of their purchase.
I guess when you say the asset, which asset? The garage or the theater?
That they have to for their portion of the parking spaces?
I believe their portion of the parking space. So when you talk about the North Park garage, not the theater, right? Not mixing the two.
Right.
The developer has the interest in the retail space, and the retail space is what has the interest in the parking spaces. It's not the theater that has an
interest. Those are connected, but they But they do have an interest in the retail spaces then.
Oh, it may be the same developer, but separate entities. Right. So there's an agreement with the North Park as it relates specifically to the parking garage and the developer that owns the condominium portions of the North Park garage. But there's not a connected portion that I recall that's related to the theater. But I can double check that.
I thought I remembered there was a side agreement with the observatory for special event parking.
In terms of ACE and Civic, we were working on self-promoting between the two, right? So if there's events, having those events advertised and making sure that they know the parking's available, that was an agreement, and we're happy to enter into those same type of relationship. Whether there's a formal agreement through the DDA, I don't believe there is, but I can certainly double-check.
I think it was a supplemental agreement.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just a handshake, but...
I know that we were working directly with the theater, the observatory, to make sure that they knew the parking was available. I believe we were trying to set special rates and do special things
right.
to drive the parking there. But again, that was more of an informal relationship. I'm sure Mike can speak from ACE.
And I know the neighborhood wants that too, because it keeps people from parking down in the neighborhood. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe you're referring to the surface lot right next to the observatory, because I don't know if that's part of that there or not, but that's not.
Well, I think that transferred to the observatory at some point from the agency, didn't
that's
it?
That's actually owned by the city. That's where the North Park Mini Park, but they have certain easements in terms of loading and unloading for the theater.
Right. And also, as far as the relationship with the theater, they purchase validations from us on a monthly basis. So we have that open communication with them on a daily basis. We talk to the current general manager all the time. And we also have them, they get a discounted rate on the validations. So they're always driving cars into our garage as well, too. So,
Have you been privy to any discussions regarding the changeover from the observatory to Live Nation?
I have not been part of those meetings. I knew that they were taking it over, but I have not been. Last time I talked to Paris, they said that the sale wasn't complete yet, but that was like a couple days ago. So something might have happened between that time frame.
I think it's a good time now, though, to sort of reintroduce ourselves to Live Nation right now, and then, you know, sort of reintroduce a relationship where talk about validations. I know that we're likely to get more parkers at the garage, but it's a good thing to have people actually know about that there is a garage right next to the observatory.
Okay. And what's the next step for approval? This goes to a council committee, and then
no, it just goes to the board.
Oh, it just goes to the
for the budgets, board. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So this does not require city council approval?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll second the motion.
Okay. We've got a motion on the floor from Director Geisler, a second from Director Jenkins. Let's vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Great, thank you. And with that, we will adjourn the budget finance meeting. Thank you all.
I don't think so.